I can sum this message up in one word. When I have finished, you will say, "Why didn't you?" I appreciate so much the opportunity of being in the conference again and join with others in expressing appreciation to this church for their splendid hospitality and for the good fellowship. I appreciate my preacher brethren and their willingness to enter into discussions of Scripture in a good spirit, because we're all learners, dear people. And I rather think that when we enter into the endless ages of eternity, notice I didn't say when we go through it, because we won't go through it, we enter into it, that we shall learn so very much more. We will understand so much better than we understand. But isn't it fun to study and to learn and to share? And you know, you study and you form some ideas, and then you hear a brother say something and you say, "I must go back to the book and check this out." So I always appreciate being with brethren who have different views, because I learn most from them. We learn more from people with whom we have disagreements than we do from people with whom we agree. If you just hang around with people you agree with, you'll never learn anything new. And the other brethren will help us to sharpen our views and our desires to know truth, after all. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13. Begin reading with me, please, at verse 32, and we shall read through verse 37. Our Lord Jesus declared, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Within the compass of these few verses, our Lord thrice commanded his immediate disciples, and of course by application and extension, all of his people, to watch. God's people are enjoined to watch 17 times in the New Testament. And of those 17 times, 9 of those charges to watch relate to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What then does it mean to watch? What is involved in watching? It seems to me that, generally speaking, we watch either when there is an apprehension of danger, or when there is an anticipation of a promise being fulfilled, as when one who has promised to come is coming and we anticipate that coming. In the 9 instances in which the word watch is used relating to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are 3 different Greek words which are used and all translated by the single English word watch. And I think as we focus on the meanings of those 3 words, we begin to understand something of what is involved in watching. These 3 words, if I may give them to you, I know that you will not necessarily remember them, but I want you to know that there are different Greek words underlying this English translation. The word gregario is translated 6 times as a command to watch. Now in this word, the significance is on literally refraining from sleep. That's the physical or literal meaning of the word. And you understand that behind every literal meaning, the literal meaning that is a basis for the figurative meaning. But the figurative meaning is simply to be alert spiritually. Now, I'll cite these passages. I'm not going to read them just yet. But the passages that in which this word is found, or the passages where the word is found, include Matthew 24:42, Matthew 25:13, here in Mark, in verse 34, verse 35, and verse 37, chapter 13, where I've read, and 1 Thessalonians 5:6. The second word is agrupneo, and this word is translated twice as a command to watch in Mark 13:33 and in Luke 21:36. Now this word denotes sleeplessness. When you can't sleep at night is what is described by this word. Well, obviously, if you are awake at night, then you're also watching because you'll hear things and be alert to things that you would not otherwise do if you were asleep. So in a spiritual sense now, this word simply means to be watchful. We're to be alert or watchful spiritually. Then the word napho is translated just one time as a command to watch in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. And this word literally means to refrain from alcohol or the abuse of alcohol physically. That's the basic meaning of the word. But the spiritual application of that word would be to be sober or to be morally alert, to have a moral alertness. So then to watch is to be spiritually alert and watchful. To watch is not to be caught off guard and to be unprepared. It means to be alert to what is happening. Thus, we are commanded to watch. Now, I want to bring in our friendly helpers here for us to examine and use in examining this subject. It helps always to use the friendly questions: who, what, why, how, and when. So I ask first, for whom or what are we to watch? We're commanded first to watch for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew 24 and notice in verse 42 these words of our Lord Jesus. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Chapter 25 of Matthew and verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And brethren, it seems to me that when anything is repeated like this, great emphasis is placed on the importance of watching. We are to watch. Here in Mark chapter 13, again, noting verse 34, 35, and 37. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Here is a simile, a figure of speech. There's a comparison, if you will. Who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Now the application. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Verse 37. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Then we have the fact that our Lord has promised that He would return. Since we believe that promise, since we anticipate that He is coming again, we believe that He will come again, then it only follows that we should be watching for His return. I think it's very inconsistent that we talk about the second coming and the appearing of the Lord, and there's no spiritual alertness. First of all, to the times, and then to the fact that He promised that He would come again. But not only are we to watch for His coming, we're also commanded to watch for the end of this age. Now note here in Mark chapter 13, verse 33, in which we read, "Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is." This is the word agrupneo that is used here, whereas in the other passages we were looking at gregario. But here is the idea that we are to be watchful spiritually for the end of the age. Look at Luke 21 and 36. We have again the words of our Lord in this passage, in which He says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." I don't have time to get into that passage, but what it says is true. We need to believe that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6 gives to us another use here, another instance. And this passage uses the word gregario in verse 6. "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch." That is, let us be alert spiritually and be sober. Then in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, we have the instance of the use of napho. And you'll notice what is said here. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." That is, we're to be morally alert to what is going on around us. So the return of Christ, when He comes, will bring an immediate end to this age. It's going to, what we know in this age, this world, and that's ion there. It is not cosmos, but it is the ion, the whole world as we know it in the aspirations and the ideas and the speculations and the desires and all that occupies us in this age is coming to an end. In fact, we all say, sometimes we'll say, "You know, I liked the world 50 years ago in the 50s a whole lot better than I like it now." That world passed away. Have news for you tonight. This world, this age is passing away. So we need to be watching for the end of this age. We anticipate the end of all things belonging to this present evil world order. Brother Wayne spoke last night concerning the preterist. I'll tell you, that view gives no hope at all. Because in that view, it just goes on and on and on and on. Not so according to the Word of God. So we must be careful that we are not caught up in being drunk, as it were, with all this age has to offer. And we're not alert and sober to what is happening. But secondly, why are we to watch? We're to watch, first of all, because our Lord commanded us to watch. That ought to be enough. Amen. I really can't add too much to that. Matthew 24, 42, Matthew 25, 13, which I've read, here in Mark 13, 33, 34, 35, 37, and Luke 21, 36, our Lord is the one who directly commanded His people to watch. So we need no other reason to watch other than His order. If He says do it, we ought to do it. But secondly, we are to watch because the apostles exhorted us to watch. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, it was the apostle Paul who exhorted us to watch. "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." In 1 Peter 4 and 7, it was the apostle Peter who said, "For the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now brethren, you know as well as I that what the apostles have given to us, what they wrote, is inspired of God and is as authoritative as what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said. Some people say, oh, it's the red letters in the Bible that are the most important words, you know, the ones in red letters. No, indeed. These words of Paul and of Peter are of equal power and authority with the words which our Lord Himself spoke. Just to remind you of that, you know that, but let's not forget that. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, our Lord Jesus said, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God is the one who has given to us the Word. And the words are inspired by the Spirit of God. That includes the words in red letters that have been recorded by the evangelist in the Gospels. Again, Peter adds to this truth in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2 when he says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So we may say when the apostles exhort us to watch, that is enough. We ought therefore to watch. But we also should watch because we must not be unprepared for our Lord's return and the end of the age. Back in Matthew 25 and verse 13, there is a therefore. We're to watch. The reason that he said that followed the giving of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. And you know the parable that when they were waiting for the bridegroom, 5 of them had taken lamps and additional oil. 5 of them had taken only lamps and no additional oil. And at midnight, when the bridegroom was coming, the 5 foolish virgins could not borrow from the 5 wise ones because they knew they had not enough for themselves and the 5 foolish ones. So they had to go and look for additional oil for their lamps. And while they were gone, totally unprepared, the bridegroom came. And that was an illustration, a parable of the necessity of watching and anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here again in Mark 13, verses 35 and 36, in this mini parable, if you will, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. This is a metaphor. It is an implied comparison. And that's exactly what the Lord is giving. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. I do not think that any servant would want to face the master who had to come and wake him up.
Right.
And the whole thought is that we're to be alert, we're to be awake, since we know our Lord is coming and the end of this age is coming, we should be spiritually alert and watching for it. But thirdly, how are we to watch? We're to watch first by prayer. Watching is linked with prayer 6 times in the New Testament. In fact, it's just mentioned a number of those times, but 6 times in particular is what I want to point out. Come back to Matthew, if you will, the 26th chapter and verse 41 in a different context, but you see the connection here illustrated. When our Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was about to go into the agony of the garden as he was there, and anticipating the time when he would go to the cross, he said in verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You'll see this thought again in Mark the 14th chapter and verse 38. Mark 14 and verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. 2 different accounts of the same event. Then in Luke 21:36, which we have noted, I want you to see again what the Lord said. He said in this verse, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
Then again, come to Ephesians 6:18 and notice the apostle's exhortation here on this occasion. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 in reference to watching and praying. Here the scripture says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then in Colossians, the 4th chapter and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And we can add to that the 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 verse that we have seen several times already. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. What does praying have to do with watching? Everything.
Amen.
When our Lord Jesus spoke of watching, He did so Himself in prayer.
Right.
That's what He did. Can we find any better example than that?
Amen.
Prayer draws our spirit into communion and fellowship with the Lord. We need to be close to Him when things are falling apart all around us. We need to be close to Him when everything seems uncertain from a human and worldly standpoint. Praying is our best watching. But we also are to watch by the use of the Word of God. In Acts the 20th chapter and verses 29 through 32, the Apostle Paul brings in the Word of God here in connection with watching. Remember, he had called for the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he would meet with them for one final time. And he said in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Now, those were two predictions that he made that no pastor wants to hear. First of all, grievous wolves coming in from without, and then from among the flock, men arising to pull away disciples after themselves. What's the antidote to that? Verse 31. Therefore, watch. Is that interesting? Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Be alert. But then he says, "And now, brethren," in verse 32, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." There's a connection here. We watch best when we're much in the Word. We are best able to discern the times when we are in the Word. We cannot be alert spiritually if we're watching much television and listening to much talk radio and we're spending little time in the Word of God. Because after a while, we'll think what they think rather than thinking God's thoughts after Him. No spiritual alertness apart from God's Word. But we're also to watch simply by being sober. Let me bring you back now to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and verse 6. This is a very key verse because the apostle is dealing with the times and the seasons. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." That phrase, "the day of the Lord," is a phrase that is all-inclusive of end-time events. And he says in verse 4, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." It shouldn't slip up on us. But he says in verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Now the word "sober" here is the word that has to do with not being intoxicated. We are not to have our senses dulled by being intoxicated with wine or anything else this world offers. And sometimes we set the wine over here and make it a greater evil than many other things that ought to be set on the same evil as that is as the misuse of. A lot of good things. Food, it's hard for us in a Bible conference because we love to eat. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we can be more interested in the food and then we become spiritually dull. You see, drunkenness and gluttony are associated together in Scripture, are they not? But the love of this world. We can be intoxicated on entertainment. Sports. I'll tell you, some folks are just, they're sports fanatics. Oh, they don't call themselves that. They call them fans. But fans are fanatics. Is that not so? We have to be careful. We need to be temperate in all things. There has to be self-control in all things. Then we also are to watch by being vigilant. I come to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And there's a connection that is made here with a passage that we'll note in 1 Corinthians 16. This is a beautiful thought here in verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. Some tell us he has been bound, but here he's walking about. Well, he's on a chain. Must be a long chain. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now compare that with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, when again we have the word watch. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you, that means acquit yourselves like men, be strong. But watching is linked with standing fast in the faith. The faith, what is it? Well, first of all, it is that faith that is given to us in the new birth. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, and that we've received from the Lord. But also, faith is has an objective use in which it's the body of truth that we have been delivered in the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to take an either or here because I'm a both and man. Why don't we just take it to include both aspects? Because if you're not given faith, you're not going to believe the object that you're to believe. You wouldn't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, let alone the Word of God. But the faith, that system of truth that we hold so precious in the Word of God, that's what we are to use to watch. The more we learn the truths of the Word of God, the more that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we understand things, the more we'll be able to be vigilant and to watch. Finally, when are we to watch? Now's as good a time as any. In fact, we are to watch now. Because, dear people, it is already the last time. We've seen this week. Someone has referenced 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, in which the Apostle John said, little children, it is the last time. Last time began with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the first time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist. What does the word Antichrist mean? Well, anti in the Greek means against or in the stead of. There are many antichrist in the sense that they are against Christ. There is one antichrist who will come in the stead of Christ. And that's what John is referencing here. But he says, right now there are many antichrist whereby we know that it is the last time. Well, it was the last time when John wrote this epistle in the early 90 AD, around 90 AD. What do you think it is in 2004, folks? It looks to me like we're talking about the last days of the last time. We have to be there. Paul described these days in 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times. That means dangerous times, trying times, difficult times. It's dangerous to get out on the road today.
not from the standpoint that it's always been dangerous when cars are meeting one another and passing one another, but the danger today is that you may find an idiot out there that is angry at the world, and so he's liable to do anything. And you've seen this. You know what we're talking about. These are perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Someone says, you have those things in every age. Yes, you do. But I want to tell you something. My lifetime, I've seen these things proliferate. They're worse than they were when I was a boy. It's a different world. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So it cannot, brethren, be long until Christ comes. My favorite statement is when people ask, well, when do you think Christ will come? I say, I do not know, but it's closer than it's ever been. No one's ever refuted that. Never even tried to. I like those kinds of statements. Nobody can refute. It's closer than it's ever been. Cannot be long. Why? Because mankind and civilized society are about to self-destruct. We're seeing our country self-destruct. This great nation is on the verge of self-destruction. We've gone from a generation who helped defeat two mighty world empires in the 1940s. That generation of people had come out of the Great Depression. This was a people who were stern, they had convictions, and they could suffer hardship. We can't handle that today in this country. You know the political scene right now, as we're in a year of electing a president, that people complain about everything. We're in a generation of moaners and complainers and crybabies and people that cannot take care of themselves. I like to study about the pioneers, those that first settled this country. They'd take off west. No government to protect them. No one to provide handouts. Going out to tame a frontier in which there were enemies. And they did it. And this generation can't wipe their own nose. Well, you say, what does that have to do with anything? It tells us, folks, that things are not going to get better until they get worse. They're going to get better because Christ is coming back. But the Bible indicates in Luke chapter 21 that before Christ returns, Israel had to be back in the land. I'll take you back there. Since I spoke on that other subject, I think I can follow this up and reference this. Luke chapter 21, verses 24 through 31. Here we have, in this account of the Olivet Discourse, Luke is the evangelist who shows us what took place in AD 70 and what was fulfilled there and what is yet to be fulfilled. All of the Olivet Discourse is not fulfilled. Verse 24, he says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword." That's AD 70. "And shall be led away captive into all nations," AD 70. "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles." That's happened since AD 70, "until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Something happened in 1967. There was a six-day war. For the first time since AD 70, the Jews gained control of Jerusalem. Now, I know that that is not all fixed in concrete, and that's with the UN's approval, and that's with all these things that have happened. But the fact is, they are, some of them, back in the land. And you know that this is the issue that is the burden of the nations. What to do with the Jews? And it's interesting. "Here there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." There are some things that are going on today. Take, for example, the absolute horror that people have for the environment. Isn't it amazing? We demand a pure environment, and yet impure airwaves and impure thoughts and impure languages. Someone has said the more that people become disoriented from the things of the Lord God, and the more wicked they become in one area, they will compensate by being overly strict in another area. You watch the way the world does that. But Israel must be back in the land. Now you'll note here in the Bible says, continuing here, then in verse 27, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. It's closer than it has ever been. Have you noticed how the world is uniting against Israel right now? The wall being erected over there is to protect the Jewish people and their way of life, their commerce, from these bombings, because these bombings have literally economically devastated them. They counted on lots of tourists, and that has fallen off. So they built a wall now, not to hurt anyone else, to protect themselves. And the UN, which is the most worthless thing that we've ever seen in this world,
amen,
the UN has condemned Israel for protecting themselves. Everybody else we've got to protect. But Christians and the Jews, you know, they're not the favored anymore. If you're a Muslim, you're favored. You get special privileges. But, and they're the people blowing up things. That's the way the world thinks. And then the U.S. is abandoning moral principles. We don't even know in this country what marriage is anymore. And we're also abandoning sovereignty. One of the presidential candidates would not do a thing without checking with the UN first. The other one said he carried out the UN's mandate, but at least they wouldn't do it, he did. But brethren, my concern is because the United States is ceasing to be good, one day it's going to cease altogether to be a world power. And I don't see anyone coming to the aid of Israel but God. So it looks to me like the stage is being set. We're closer to the end than we have ever been. You young people, pay attention to world events and study your Bible.
Amen.
Stay up with what is going on. And if you are tonight, without the Lord Jesus Christ, I have great, great heaviness in my heart for you to face an uncertain world without the certainty of the support and the comfort of the Savior. And you only have that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I say tonight, if you're troubled about your soul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What are we to do? We're to watch. We've been shown how we're to watch, why we're to watch. Therefore, let us watch. And let us pray. Our Father, we come to you tonight with both heaviness and with joy in our hearts. Heaviness, when we look at our world, we look at our nation. We look at those things that are being done. And it grieves us because we do not in any way approve of evil. We do not condone disobedience. But our joy is found when we think that you are coming. When we know that you're coming because you've so promised. When we can see things of Scripture being set up, the stage being set more clearly than it has been. And we know that the end is soon. We do not know how long soon is. We just know that it is closer than it's ever been. And we pray that we'll be watchful.
That we'll watch in prayer. We'll watch through the Word. We'll watch in being sober and vigilant and being very clear as to what priorities are in this life. We pray, our Father, that our priorities in this world will not be entertainment and recreation and our work. We have a place. There's a place for work. There's a place for even recreation. But we pray, our Father, that our first priority would be on the spiritual, eternal things. Because all of us are going to leave behind all the material things that we've amassed. They'll all be committed to the fire one day. Only those things that have been done for the Lord Jesus Christ will last. May our hearts first be centered upon Him. And may the desire of our heart be to please and to glorify You, Father, by the good works that we do. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to ask all the preachers at this time to just come right on here to the front. And we'd like you to stand here in the middle facing the congregation, Brother Doyle.